Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. We're on location with J.D. Schmidt at his sheep operation in Rio Grande County. Just behind me is the Monte Vista Wildlife Refuge. You can see Mount Blanca in front. J.D., it's good to see you, brother.
Good to see you too, Chris, man. Got to touch base with you again.
Hey, J.D.'s an old friend of mine from, back in the 70s and the 80s where we grew up here in Alamosa. He grew up in La Jara area in Cornelos County.
Cornelos County.
Yeah.
Went to school at Centauri.
So JD, we're on site here at your sheep operation, Are you a rancher or a farmer? I always get that.
Rancher.
Yeah, sheep rancher.
Yeah.
Tell us about where we are and give us just a quick sense of the size of your operation we're running here.
Well, we lamb over 3,000 ewes, and I've got probably 300 head of nanny goats. We do have 100 head of cows, and we have quite a few horses around too. We raise our own.
How much land are we on, or how much are you covering here?
Well, the whole thing we cover from Cornelos County, a lot of Rio Grande. I pasture a lot of BLM, Forest Service. I pasture the refuge, do weed control there.
And how long have you been doing this?
We moved here in 1976 is when we started.
When you say we, your dad?
My dad, yeah, my family, yeah.
Talk to us about your dad real quick, his name.
Yeah, Lewis, my dad, he's 96 years old, still going, still drives around, still sharp as tack, does most all the paperwork needs to be done. He had a little trouble with computers, but we help him out there, and he just ain't quitting.
We're trying to get him on camera with his, but that's going to be a tough task to get
Lewis
Schmidt in there.
He's fast.
So we're sitting here at the end of March. You can see behind us is the San Juans. There is no snowpack. Very light spring runoff year this year, JD. Your anticipation moving into April, May, June? How do you manage a year like this?
Very little. If you don't have a well, you're going to be in trouble. We have some irrigated pasture that has no well on it. It's just going to be dry. We'll get very little production unless it rains off of it. We'll get pasture, but we won't be cutting any hay on it.
So then how do you manage forward with what you're seeing behind you? How do you manage your operation and your expectations as a producer here in 2026?
Well, hopefully we get a little rain and the grass will come on and we'll be okay. But if it's not, if you got to buy hay, it's just going to be devastating to the bottom line. And that's what really worries me, I guess you'd say. If we don't get any moisture, then I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Back in 2003, we kind of had the same situation, and we ended up trucking everything to Rio Dulce, New Mexico, on the Apache reservation there, right there by the Mescalero Apaches.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot, and it finally started raining, and we came back in, I believe it was August when we came back. So we were down there from now till August. I just trucked them right out of the corrals, and it was, I think it was about 300 miles away, something like that. Like a 6-hour trip to get there. And it worked, but they dried it out down there too. So I don't know, the option is leaving the San Luis Valley with them if you can find the pasture.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of drought everywhere, so I don't know how far you'd have to go.
Right, right.
And if you gotta buy hay, it's just, yeah.
Right, yeah, it's a tough year. Give us a sense, JD, of here in the springtime. You're in lamb season, you have kids coming with your goats. Give us a sense of the size of that operation and how you manage that with your workforce through the months.
Well, we lamb three different herds, and the breeding cycle is about 3 weeks. So that's why I set up to shear and get ready for the next bunch to come in. It's 3 weeks, 3 weeks, and 3 weeks. So it's about 9 weeks. There's a few left over that didn't get bred till later. So we lamb one bunch we're just about finishing when the other herd comes in. We've built a lot of corrals, a lot of it is sort of where you can observe them, make sure everybody's good. And then when they get 2 to 3 weeks old, they go out to our alfalfa pastures up until May is when we try to get everything off. I've got some really good guys. They know what they're doing. They do a lot of the feeding. Most.
And you've had your workforce for a period of years. I mean, you work through the visa program, through the federal government worker visa program, farm worker program, and you've had your workforce with you for a while.
Yes, I think the newest guys work, well, they go back to Mexico. They're here for so long, then they go back, and then they re-up. But I think the guys, it'll be his fourth year. He'll be here in June, fourth or fifth year, and he's the newest guy I've had. One guy's been here over 20 years, or at right about 20 years. Another guy's been, I'm gonna say 15.
Yeah.
And then another guy's about 10, and this,
For an operation like yours, how important is it for you to have that continuity in your workforce, the same visa workers? How is that important to you?
It's very important because they know, they know all the pastures, and they're smarter than the people think. They're not just dumb sheep herders. I have said in meetings with the Forest Service and the BLM, and I said, and I've said to the wildlife biologists, I said, you guys don't know what happens out here on the, you can think you do, you can have, I said, I don't know everything goes on. You want to know what really happens? Talk to my sheep herder. He's out here 24/7 watching the sheep, and he knows how much wildlife's out there. He knows how good the grass is, how not good the grass is. And the guys that I've had here for you, they work with me. I ask them questions. And most of them are, all but one are, they're Indians, indigenous Indians from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely a second-class citizen down there. They are treated a lot worse. These guys around here, they should take a lesson. They're treated pretty good.
That's an interesting conversation here on your workforce and what you're talking about in terms of the responsibilities of managing a herd 24/7. I was listening to earlier a legislative committee hearing in Denver, a Senate legislative committee hearing. They're debating legislation that looks at the overtime rules for farm workers and exempting sheep herders, sheep operations like yours from those rules. Give us a sense of any thoughts you might have about legislation, state legislature, and how governments regulate or look at farm operations, ranch operations like yours. I don't know if you just have thoughts about all that.
Well, the life of a sheep herder, it is 24/7. They have to be there. They have, if we're out on a BLM or a fort, they have a horse they can ride to help them out. They have border collie dogs to help them move the sheep. They have to keep a constant vigil. There's predators that are around, but a lot of times they're not really doing anything. So how do you figure out overtime? You know, it's a salary job. These guys make over $30,000 a year in base salary, plus we feed them, plus we don't charge them anything for the housing. It's all free. It's a pretty good job. But they are by themselves, but they all have cell phones. They can communicate back and forth with each other or call Mexico, wherever they want to do. And my guys are very happy to be here. I mean, it's obvious, why would they come back if they didn't want to be here? And every single one of them that's worked for me has built house down there as big as mine, and they're very proud of what they do, you know, and they like being here. They like working for me.
Yeah.
And it's tough when the legislature said, well, you have to pay more, but eventually, if you're a farmer or a rancher, you take all the risk. You have to go to the bank and borrow all the money. You have to have the land to run the livestock on. You have to pay for that land. And when it gets to where the hired help is making more money than you are, what's the point? You know, that's the hard part. How can you afford to pay them more than you make yourself?
Give us a sense of the business today of sheep ranching. You talked about 3,000 head. I mean, you're the largest sheep rancher in the San Luis Valley, one of the largest operations in the state of Colorado, in the whole country, really. But in the valley, you're the largest sheep rancher. Give us a sense of that business side. Is it good right now? How's that business side doing for sheep, the wool, the meat, et cetera?
It's getting better, the meat, but it's not really comparative. You know, everybody talks about high cattle prices. Well, we got a lot of money for our calves this year, and that was great. You know, the sheep market has it, it's coming up. So the bottom, you know, really the sheep to be comparable cow, we should be like twice the amount of money we're making now with them. And it's, I tell people that when you're in the sheep business or the cattle, it's the long game. You're not just going to jump in and make all this money and it just not, it doesn't work. I tell people you have money and you have livestock, but a lot of times you don't have money and livestock because it doesn't work that way. You make money with the livestock, you need to reinvest back into the whole operation. Maybe you need a better tractor or, you know, something, a pickup dies on you and you really got to replace it. And that's the hard part, price of fuel. It's always going up, you know, and it's hard to, you know, to make ends meet. You got to, you do the best you can, I guess you'd say.
You're all right. You if I remember right, and you correct me, the selling of goats, the selling of sheep that you do at auctions, yes, that has been fetching an okay price lately. And why is that?
Yeah, well, the Muslim community takes a lot of the goats and a lot of sheep. There's guys that buy them and they butcher them and spread them out amongst their community, and it's really been good. And as far as the sheep market, a lot of that'll go to restaurants. You know, if we sell to a packer, most of them will go to Superior. I have a guy in New Mexico he's in a food co-op deal, plus he gives restaurants in Santa Fe, and they really like our product, and it makes me proud because, you know, you taste my lamb, it's some of the best in the world, if you ask me.
How do you get your lamb to market, to those restaurants? Give us that chain, supply chain process so that you know, hey, that's my meat that they're serving. How do you know that?
That's the thing. I don't exactly know, and I wish I did, but for me, I would love to put my own product, but what I'm told is that you have to go through vendors and everybody takes their chunk of the money. You to go try to buy a piece of lamb out in the supermarket and you get a little steaks that's like $15 a pound. Well, I'm only making $2 a pound on it. So how does that, you know, I'm not still, yeah.
One of the things when you come to your operation, to the J.D. Schmidt Ranch, Sheep Ranch operation here in Rio Grande County on the edge of Alamosa County. When you come out here, it's impressive. The size of your operation, really impressive. But the management of the operation, the care of the animals, just the environment of what you're doing out here is different than what you hear about corporate farming and the negativity around you're doing it the old-fashioned way, I would guess you would say.
Yeah, and our product is just about as natural of a product as you can get. They're in the corrals being fed because it's that time of year. But most times they are out in the open air on green grass. And when they come in, they are very healthy. And I think it's a healthy product for people to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm proud of, and when people get my product, they're very, very happy with it.
Yeah, it's really impressive operation to see and come out here and understand how you manage 3,000, a herd of, I mean, that's a lot. And you can see the extensiveness of this operation when you're sitting out here in these fields and looking at your different pens and how you have things segmented depending on that animal and where they are in their lifespan.
Right, right. I've got a pen of older ewes that'll be butcher ewes, and then I've got young sheep that need to go out. And yeah, it's hard to explain. I guess you just do it. That's what my dad always says. You know, well, you just do something, just get it done. You know, and it's like, well, I don't know what to do. Well, you'll figure it out, and you do. And I think the hard part. See, with the BLM and the Forest Service and the refuges and the private ground and private leases, I think it's 125,000 acres that we could have control over. And it's time of year, and you have to time it to where it's not drastic for the animal. So if I can't be over here by Monta Vista in front of Greeny and then have to move them 30 miles, 40 miles out and then turn around and come back and go right next door. So you try to manage the less stress you possibly can on the animal. And that's just the best way to do it. And this winter has been tough with no snow. We had to haul water, and that is hard on them out there. Just walking back and forth to water and to feed, and they feel it.
Yeah.
If you have a little snow, see, sheep and cattle, the snow makes the feed more palatable. And it seems like it brings more nutrients up, and they don't have to travel so much. So whenever, like this winter, just you got a water truck every single day, because it is cold enough. You can't just take 100,000 gallons out there. There you go, because it all freeze up, and then you don't have water.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're with J.D. Schmidt. We're at his sheep ranch in Rio Grande County. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
Looking for the freshest food in the valley? Introducing the new SLB Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit elemasacitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the valley.
Hey, we're back. We're at J.D. Schmidt's sheep ranch here in Rio Grande County. It's Wednesday, 80 degrees today, JD. It looks like it's going to tip 80 degrees again in March. I have to keep reminding myself that we're in the month of March.
Because, I know, it feels like May, doesn't it?
My goodness. We've both been around.
Yeah.
For decades.
Right.
We've seen this valley. No. There's no doubt to me, JD, that we heard a lot in the 80s about climate change, in the
right.
90s. When we were in school, we heard climate, what is that? Global warming, what is that, right? And it's hard to get your head around it at the time. Here we are in 2026. I'm calling this climate change, JD. I don't know what you're calling it, I'm calling it.
It is climate change, and I believe in climate change. It's happened over centuries. You know, that it was 1907, Denver had that, they finally broke the record for 1907. So it was hot in March in 1907 then too. And you talk to them guys out of Texas with the 50s drought they went through, you know, just they were burning cactus just to feed their cows. And it, you know, so it's happened before. This is nothing new. It's new to me and you, but we're young compared to 200-300 years.
That's 96.
Yeah, you know.
But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And
but it's something to live through it. I mean, again, living through the period, because you and I are used to seeing snow. We're used to seeing a runoff. We're used to seeing, we lived in cold winters back in our day,
the
60s and the 70s and the 80s. And now, you know, we saw that.
You bet.
We remember that. You were playing basketball in La Jara and having to get up early in the morning, freeze your butt to get to basketball practice, I'm betting.
Yeah, you know, it was just, yeah, I can remember walking out. One of those years, it never got above freezing, from like 1st of November till the 1st of March or something like that. And yeah, it was just cold, 20 below every night. You know,
My point is, you just did it.
Yeah, but yeah, you didn't really think about it at the time.
Yeah, my point is here though, you running this ranch have to adjust.
Yes.
To what the conditions are. Whatever those conditions
That's
are,
right.
You have to adjust.
We have to figure it out and go different places, try to find a pasture for, if we can. If not, we're just gonna have to cut numbers that there's just no.
And I'm gonna guess this is gonna be one of your tougher years or tougher challenges, trying to figure out how to manage all these sheep,
yes.
all these goat that you need
yes.
to put into pasture to get fat
yes.
over the summer months.
Yes, it will, yeah. I'm not too worried about the Forest Service up high because it's green. I'm kind of worried about the creeks that run up there. They may be a little drier than normal. But what worries me is now, from say now till the 1st of July, what am I going to do I don't know.
You're in sub-district 2, I believe, of the Rio Grande Water Conservation District. Sub-district 2 runs through here. Explain to us real quick the sub-district you're in and what your water supply is through that sub-district.
Yeah, we get Monta Vista Canal water, and we have well water that we get. And it's going to be a really high pump bill this year. It just is, because you're going to have to do it if you want to go. See, we try to grow enough feed to feed the livestock at this time of the year. And it is hard to do if you just don't have the water to put on. And the canal water is, one of my friends described it as 50% wetter. I don't know what he said. Do you put that out there versus pumping?
Because of the snow, because of the spring snow runoff.
Something, yeah. There's something about it, more nutrients in it or whatever it is, but man, it's true. And we, just bite the bullet and hope for the best, you know. And if you break even, well, I guess it's a win, this years like this.
Yeah.
And it won't be, you know, there won't be no extra, let's put it that way.
Yeah. No, we really appreciate coming out here, being able to hang out with you. Love to see your whole operation, but more importantly, we really wanted you to be able to educate people and explain the biggest sheep operation here in the valley, and explain what you and how you manage this, because it's impressive.
Just as far as the management, it's just as big a problem as the drought is the outside influences that are coming in here and trying to tell us how to run the operation. With like the BLM, it's not the people that work in the office here. They are very good people, but their hands are tied by the people in Washington, D.C., and you have to stick by the book, play by the book. Well, you can't, you know, if there's feed, green feed on one side of the valley, it might not be another side. So why can't we use that green feed that's there? We need flexibility, and they're just not flexible. They don't understand that the flexibility is actually good for the ground. We're part of the landscape. So my analogy is, if you have a lawn, you want water, of course, and you mow it, right? What happens if you don't, even if you have water, what happens if you don't mow it? The grass just, and you start seeing bare spots. Well, livestock, they eat the grass, keep it short, and it helps diversify the water, what we get, and it's greener and better for the wildlife and for my livestock too. I tell people that we are the first environmentalists. We're the environmentalists. We have to deal with the environment, period. You can sit there, you can say you're an environmentalist, but what are you doing to protect the environment? What are you doing to protect the pastures? What I personally have non-used pastures because there's not feed there. I've called and said, I can't use it. And they, okay. But that's the way I have to manage it. And it's just better for everything. One of the greatest things in my job, I see wildlife all the time. I'm out in the mountains, and it's just fantastic. And I don't want to do anything to hurt that wildlife. It's, you know, where we coexist with them. You know, I've seen my sheep on a hillside in the mountains grazing, and here comes a herd of elk, just graze right through them, and we're all right there, everybody's happy. So, and you tell somebody that doesn't know, oh no, that's impossible, you know, one of the big things that came along was the bighorn sheep. Oh, the domestic sheep are gonna kill them off, they're gonna transmit diseases. Well, the model they used was completely bad science to begin with. You can't take 20 head of domestic sheep and 20 head caught from the wild and throw them in a pen and feed them and see what happens. The pictures I saw, all the sheep, the domestic sheep were eating on all the hay and the bighorns were standing back. Of course they're gonna get sick and die. Oh, well, see what the sheep did? Well, they found out that elk carry the same thing, deer carry, moose, human beings carry that will cause pneumonia. So who knows if some of these die off, and then all the die-offs they've had, there's never been any domestic sheep around. So I think it was just a weapon to remove the livestock from the land. And what happens when you don't graze? Fires, wildfires, all of that is involved. We help keep that down. Livestock need to be out there.
I think it's really cool to be able to come out here and again see your operation, because you know, people hear about farmers, they hear about ranching, they hear about animals and the care of them, but you can come out here to where we are and experience it for yourself. And again, it's very impressive. I want to ask you one more thing before we wrap this up, and that's your succession plan, because neither of us is getting any younger.
Right.
And I know that's something that's on your mind as you think through the future years and into the future, because this is one of the most important ranches in Colorado with the number of head that you have and the size of the operation and the amount you put out there for people to consume. This is an important operation. You haven't figured out how you keep it going, though.
Yes, that's the hard part. I would love for my son to take it over. But if he doesn't want it, I want him to be happy. You have to be happy in what you do. I don't want him to take this over and just be miserable for doing it, because things don't work that way. Then everything suffers because of it. I want him to be happy. So I guess when the time comes, I'm just gonna
you'll
have
figure
to
it out.
Sell, yeah, either he'll figure it out or I'll sell it off and it's over with.
You'll figure it out. You got a long time to go before
yeah,
you
do. Well,
I mean, look at your dad.
Well, I know. See, Carla, she retired here a few years ago. She was talking about retirement, and she's like, well, when are you going to retire? At that time, my dad, I think, was 92. I said, well, Dad's 92, and I got to go one day longer, so it's going to be a while. That old boy's making it tough on me, man, let me tell you. He's just like, come on, man. Would you please retire so I can look forward to it, too? You got to prove it, you know. Yeah, I go longer than you. You know?
I think we both know people, JD, in this valley who never retire because what the heck they're going to do after that. I think
right.
You're like that.
You know, my dad has made the statement, you retire, you die.
Yeah.
So, or, you know, and he said, doctors will kill you, too. But, well, I don't know. He doesn't go to the doctor very often. Doesn't have to. But, well, most times. But, yeah, you know, it's a challenge, and it's okay, though. It keeps life interesting. You know, you have to think about what you're doing, right? No matter what, you have to. It is a challenge to me, and that's good.
End of the day, bottom line, one of the best ranch operations you'll see anywhere out here at the J.D. Schmidt Sheep Ranch Operations. Great to see you, buddy. Really appreciate you
good
spending
to see
time
you
with
too,
us.
Man.
Good old friend.
Yeah.
Good old friend, J.D. Schmidt. See you around the valley.